chapter 3, and reading from verse 4 to verse 7. It's on page 1199 of the Church Bibles. Titus might not seem the most obvious Christmas reading, but this gives us a good summary of why Jesus came. Titus chapter 3, beginning at verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We stand for the gospel reading. The reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, the first 14 verses. It can be found on page 1027 of the Church Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Now we affirm our faith as we join together in the words of the Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please do sit down. Realised, despite the conveniently and obviously placed taper, haven't lit the Advent candles. And we can light five today, can't we? Yeah, that's good. The absence of a small child whose hair we can set fire to, I'll do it myself. Good. That looks much better. Julia and I have this thing where if we ruled the world, what would we ban? And certain types of Christmas lights outside houses would be one of them. I'm not going to tell you what they are in case you've got them on your house. But there are certain types, and it's really interesting walking around Milton at night at the moment, the variety of interesting decorations that some people have got on their houses. They vary a lot. Some are clear, some are coloured, some flash. Some are giant inflatable Santas and all those other... Interesting. Oh dear, I said that rather. Yeah, that may be one of the things. Anybody got a giant inflatable Santa? Good. Well, I'm on safe ground then. But it's actually really lovely because there's that sense of light. And even though the council has decided that they won't switch the street lights off and they won't dim them, it's still nice to have some extra light on a dark night. And as human beings, we need light. And I think all of us, I look forward to the 21st, 22nd of December, and I can think, right, it's going the other way now, and it's going to start getting light again. And that's a wonderful thing. Because we don't function very well in darkness. The people who live in very northern latitudes, I always get those two confused, latitudes, can have really serious problems when it doesn't really get light for weeks on end in the middle of winter. Because our bodies need light to work properly, and we can get all kinds of issues, depression and everything else, if we don't get enough light. Light is very important. And it's been a funny year, hasn't it? And it's felt that there's been some dark things have happened this year in various different places. Our media are full of dark things. And they catch our attention. But there comes a point, I think sometimes, where they start to wash over us. And that's dangerous because we become so accustomed to the dark that we fail to notice it any longer. And so when we get to Christmas and this idea that Jesus is the light of the world, light does two things. It pierces the darkness, but it also emphasizes the darkness. Now, this morning, kind of stumbling around the house in the semi-darkness when I got up, there's some light coming through the windows. But as soon as you switch a light on in the house, the window immediately appears to be dark. So light does two things. It pierces the darkness, but it also emphasizes the darkness. And Jesus coming into the world not only brings light into it, but it also, his coming also emphasizes the darkness that's already there. Now, Christmas also is about giving and receiving, about presents. After I was ordained, my children disliked me on Christmas Day because we didn't open presents first thing in the morning like we used to. The mad scramble for unwrapping stuff that used to happen at goodness knows what time in the morning had to stop because I had to do this. And I wasn't around, although it sometimes used to be 5:30 was what they tried on, or 6 o'clock, and I thought, nope, not happening. But so now, or since then, it's 20-odd years now, but we open presents in the afternoon after lunch. And presents are good. I love receiving them, and I love giving them. And, you know, there's that feeling as you get a parcel and you do the gentle shaking in case it's fragile, or if you're a child, the violent shaking, and, oh, no, don't do that. But then unwrapping it, no idea what's in there, and you're amazed, hopefully, by what's in there. But also that sense of giving, and not just the giving on the day, but the planning of the giving. What would that person really enjoy opening? What would that person really love to have? So giving, receiving, I don't know, they're both important, aren't they? And I wonder sometimes, as God had this plan to send Jesus, this great gift, to the world, I wonder what he was thinking. You know, it's very easy to kind of place human emotions onto God, and that's a tricky thing to do, but that sense of anticipation, if you can have anticipation in eternity, I don't know. But you know what I mean, that sense of anticipation, what will the world make of this gift? What will this love gift, this very thought through, significant, important gift. What will the world make of Jesus? And on that first Christmas night, in whatever building Jesus was born in, but some interesting blog posts I've read this last week or so about whether it was a stable, whether it was somebody's basement, whether it was whatever, who cares? He was born, that's the important thing, doesn't matter where, but it was in humble circumstances. But what would people make of that gift? And throughout the story of his birth, people are either terrified or amazed. If you read the stories again, you just look for those words, terrified or amazed, and they're all over the place. Well, you would be. There's angels popping up all over the place. There's strange lights in the sky. There's all kinds of strange things happening. So depending on your point of view, terror or amazement would be appropriate reactions. But this is because this gift, this Christmas Day gift, was the one that the whole world had been waiting for, the one that the whole world not only wanted but needed. And John, in his gospel, refers to Jesus as the light of the world. But how can a person bring light to the world? How does that work? Well, it wasn't a halo, because people don't have halos. That's just medieval artists with a bit of gold paint think, how can we make this person look like a saint? I know, we'll give them a halo. Clearly Jesus didn't have this, sorry to destroy an illusion, but Jesus didn't have this gold disc behind his head, okay? I hope not anyway, because that'd be a bit scary, wouldn't it? Despite what you may see on some of the windows in this church, actually, like that one up there. But that's not the way light happens. Jesus himself wasn't luminous. He didn't glow in the dark. You know, glow in the dark Jesus. That'd be a good Christmas present, wouldn't it? You could plonk it outside your house and, no. but the light that Jesus brings is the light of grace, the light of truth, the light of love, all those things that the world so desperately needs. Grace, people being generous in the face of natural disaster, the rich helping the poor, the spared helping the victim. Truth, finding just solutions to the grievances that drive people to conflict and violence. Bringing conflicts to a conclusion that isn't just the absence of conflict, but is genuine peace. Building the right kinds of buildings, homes, offices, hospitals, in places that are prone to earthquakes, floods, whatever. And love that underpins it all. Seeking the good of the other above yourself. And these virtues of grace and truth and love are in very short supply, it would seem, from the media. But do we believe everything the media tells us? I really hope not. Because very often there's a truth behind the stories we see and read that is actually much more full of grace and truth and love than we imagine. But Jesus brings all those things into the world in abundance as the light of the world. And we see this word, Emmanuel. Translation, over there, God with us. And that's a really important thing. And that is exactly what Christmas is about. Because not only did God come in the person of Jesus and walk this earth as one of us and teach and heal and bring cleansing to lepers and all those other things, and then died unjustly to take away our sin, rose from the dead, returned to the Father. You think, oh no, he's not with us anymore. But he is with us because the Holy Spirit was then given. And whereas Jesus could only be in one place at a time, even after he had this amazing resurrection body, where he could appear in locked rooms and go, boo. Well, that's been real fun, actually. I'm quite looking forward to a resurrection body. That'd be interesting, right? Just appear in a room. Hello. Oh. It's great. But even then, he could only be in one place at a time. But through the giving of the Holy Spirit, God is with us wherever we are. Whoever we are, wherever we are in the world. So Emmanuel is still true, even though Jesus is no longer physically present. And he is here in the midst of a messy world, here with the victim of war or violence, here with the sick, the lonely, the oppressed, the bereaved. He's here in the darkness alongside us, bringing God's light. And that light continues to burn very brightly. Sometimes we need to look for it. Because although John says that the darkness has not overcome it, sometimes we can concentrate too much on the darkness and miss the light. But the light is burning brightly today. Right around the world, there are thousands of millions of Christians in the world. And everywhere there is a follower of Jesus, Jesus' light is present. And so often, those followers of Jesus are the ones who bring light into dark situations. The darkness cannot overcome it in the end. And that's the good news of Christmas. The light has come. The light cannot be quenched, however dark things may seem. And that's a gift, a present that all of us can receive. It doesn't need unwrapping. It's just there for us, free gift of God's grace and love. And I hope for all of us that light will be a reality, not just today and through the Sundays of Christmas, but throughout this year. Because it's the best gift we can ever have. Amen. And we stand. Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.